received complaints from people that were more of a third party or a hearsay complaint, such as reporting that they saw on social media that a certain establishment wasn't complying, or they drove by a certain business and they saw numerous cars, much more than what the business can handle. So therefore, they must be violating the guidelines of the governor with the social distancing. And we are required to follow up on all those complaints and confirm if they're valid complaints or not. And as we were, as time went on, we're finding that a lot of the third party complaints were not valid complaints, and they were tying up a lot of employees' time, our staff time. As a result, we've stopped taking third party complaints.
And we have generally been told that most of the businesses in the county have been compliant and education has been effective. So what kind of response have you had? Have they generally been compliant after these first and second alleged violations?
For the most part, they're isolated situations where maybe a patron saw something that was an isolated situation, but thought that maybe that was the practice. We're finding that at least the businesses that we're receiving complaints on, they're trying to comply. There are some businesses that are resistant, and they've taken on the philosophy that maybe this is a political move or some type of charade by the government or other bodies.
And what does your staff tell them when they hear that?
We try to educate them on the science behind the virus, and that the virus is highly contagious, and even though it has not affected them personally, that they could be asymptomatic, and that the asymptomatic carriers can spread the virus just as easily, and it's the people that might have medical conditions that suffer the most. They're the ones that are going to the hospital. They're the ones that are being placed in ICUs in hospitals. They're the ones that are being put on the ventilators, and even worse yet, those are the people that are dying.
And all of this comes without enforcement authority from your department. That comes from the state's attorney's office, and they've so far declined against that. Would a more aggressive stance from the state's attorney's office help? Would it hurt for your officers to be able to respond with that authority?
In my experience, I've found that once a governmental body shows that they have enforcement and they use it wisely, just the word of mouth amongst the businesses makes people comply even more. So if we had the ability to suspend a license, a food establishment license, for example, for non-compliance with the COVID-19 rules, I believe that it would only take one or two hearings and suspensions of various food permits of the most egregious violators before the word got out to the rest of the establishments. And that would even overlap into retail businesses and businesses that we don't have permits on. And I think we would see an even greater attempt for compliance.
Now, if a business, a restaurant or a bar was preparing food poorly, or if there were hazards they were causing in that regard, you could take their permit away, right? So how would this be different?
The county code does allow for a process for a hearing for violations regarding food safety. The state's attorney, Mr. Knapp, has stated publicly that he would not prosecute a violation of COVID-19 rules or guidelines unless it was an egregious criminal act. I do not know what that definition is for a respiratory illness to become a criminal act.
In Bloomington, Mayor Terry Renner recently made a public plea to bars and restaurants that if they don't enforce social distancing and de-densify their establishments, that they could lose their liquor license. So it does seem that perhaps on that level, that action could be taken for those at least that have liquor licenses. And he has said, I guess to your point about having that enforcement capability has led to better compliance. At least he has said anecdotally that he has seen that.
There are certain establishments, for the most part, overall, yes, there is a stronger will to comply and to get the patrons to comply. But there still are some establishments that are having numerous complaints.
So has there not been really a decline, or has it been pretty even?
It's difficult to say because the establishments that we're seeing frequent complaints are the same establishments. So from the very beginning, they were the establishments we were getting complaints on. So we haven't seen any new, as I would say, frequent violators.
So it seems that really little has changed then, probably.
In my view of what I'm seeing in complaints, very little's changed. But again, we're just not seeing food establishments that are being complained against. We're seeing hardware stores, as you said, governmental agencies. We're seeing clothing stores and car dealerships and a variety of different businesses that are coming in on a daily basis. On average, we're seeing anywhere from 3 to 4 additional complaints a day. There's certain days where those spike. We don't know why that is. We have noticed that when the governor gives a public update, we seem to get more complaints.
And I guess one most recent pronouncement came when they were going to call on municipalities to start fining for mask enforcement, even though the mandate had already been in place for several months. And so I guess there was a bit of an uptick there, even though there still weren't actual fines put in place.
Yes, that's correct. We did see an increase in complaints on the following days.
And a common response that we've seen from the complaints and the follow-up with the businesses is they're doing the best they can. They say their staff is overwhelmed, they're concerned and maybe even fearful that customers will get angry. Some of them have. If they're asked to put on a mask or to explain why they don't wear one, what do you say to a business owner that's concerned about that? And some have actually formally put in policy where they don't mandate it anymore.
As a business owner, they have the right to refuse business to anyone. And I've even stated to some business operators that if you have an unruly customer like that, do you really want them as a customer in your establishment? If they're going to threaten in any way your employees or you as a business owner, why would you want a person like that in your business? And I understand nationwide there were complaints and concerns and video of customers threatening employees. In the governor's executive order, the emergency rule, it was put in place that there are stiffer penalties against anyone who will threaten a business owner or their employees in the attempt to enforce that emergency rule. And again, that's where our law enforcement come in, our law enforcement personnel. I'm sure that they would respond in the appropriate manner if a customer was to threaten an employee or an owner or manager of an establishment, doing their due diligence to prevent the spread of the virus.
And even touching an employee is a felony aggravated battery at this point. So, and I'm curious to know if that's had any impact on business owners feeling more empowered.
It is difficult to tell at this point. And in my personal observations in patronizing different businesses throughout the community is that we're seeing uniformed security officers in certain businesses enforcing the masking rules.
Would those be additional security, do you believe, just for this?
It is security that I personally have never seen in those particular businesses before.
In one mass complaint about a restaurant in Hayworth, the owner had said that he would review security camera footage, and if he found his own workers not wearing a mask, that he would discipline them. We saw a store manager of a fast food establishment fire employees for not wearing masks. Is that something that your office would recommend, to have owners and managers to take more ownership of the problem, disciplining their own staff?
It's upon each individual business owner to set their own policies. So if that's what their policy is, then I think they're doing their due diligence in assuring that they're protecting their customers and their other employees.
Several times the reports that we saw indicate that the mask ordinance can't be enforced because of health exemptions, your breathing problems, that sort of thing. And that's why they say they can't be forced out of the store. So an attorney who spoke to business owners in McLean County a few weeks ago said that they can force them out as long as they offer another accommodation such as curbside or delivery. You know, give us your shopping list. We'll get it for you while you wait here outside. Those messages seem to be a bit contradictory. So is it acceptable for a business owner to say, we'll give you another option. If you don't like it, you can leave?
I believe that that's a better question for the Department of Human Rights. But as I see it from my perspective and the limited roles that I have in controlling the spread of the virus, I see that as an option and that the business owner is trying to make an accommodation. I think the Department of Human Rights would be able to answer more thoroughly as to how many different options of accommodations the business owner is required to make. I've spoken to independent business owners where they've had customers come in and they didn't follow the business's rules to enter the establishment. In other words, they came in without a mask. They didn't sanitize their hands. The business owners asked them to leave, and the customers claimed medical conditions. So the business owner said, okay, if you stand outside, I will take your order, and I will get your products, and I will come to the door, and I'll show you what I've packaged for you, and then I will bring you the bill, and you pay me, and then I'll bring it back out to you. And they refused to that accommodation. In my view, I believe that that was an acceptable accommodation. But again, I don't represent or speak for the Department of Human Rights.
Mm-hmm. So health exemptions are frequently cited as why they aren't wearing a mask. Is there a list of acceptable health exemptions? And I wonder if those are perhaps overused or overstated.
I've never seen a listing of medical conditions that qualify for exemption. Mm-hmm. So I don't know to what extent a medical condition would apply to be exempted from wearing a facial covering in public. So I can't speak on that. I'm not a medical professional.
Okay. So a common response we see from restaurant managers is if they're working in the kitchen and it's hot, they say wearing a mask for any length of time is really difficult. And of course, they can't socially distance in the kitchen. So you might presume they're going to keep doing it because they don't see any other way. What do you tell them in that case when they feel like they don't have an option where they can reasonably wear a mask or distance?
We recommend that they decrease their staff so that they can socially distance. And in some restaurants, you're absolutely correct. It is very difficult because the kitchens can be small, especially with the newer types of technology out there for equipment. Cooking equipment is more compact. It's more efficient. So architects can downsize a kitchen for an operator so that it saves on square footage. But operations need to be changed to fit the situation. We've noticed a lot of food service establishments have downsized their menus. They don't have the full menus that they had prior to the pandemic hitting. They've considerably reduced their menu selections so that they don't have to have as many staff in the kitchen. They've rescheduled their staff so that they work in rotating teams, so that if they do have an employee that becomes COVID positive, they're not spreading it to their entire workforce. It's just that team that might be exposed so that they can bring in their other team to fill in that work schedule that has been taken out because of a positive employee. And that keeps the restaurant, the food establishments, and bars open longer. Their staffing isn't completely depleted and forces them to close because they have no staff to operate the business.
And we have seen city crews, town and city crews, that have sort of cycled in that way to keep staff safe and to have a backup help if they should need it. One story we saw required, I guess it was a grocery store, they required customers to buy a mask if they didn't have one. And the customer said that there were other options like curbside, but there was an additional cost for that. Should stores make customers buy a mask if they don't have one? I guess many of them just offer it.
So I think that in the fact that they're offering the mask is generous in itself. I can't speak on behalf of whether or not they charge. Obviously, the store has to pay for those masks, and perhaps they feel that they have to recoup the cost on that mask. I understand that's part of doing business. But it is a good service that if a customer doesn't have a mask, if they forgot it at home, there is the option to get a mask. And I've seen situations that you refer to where they're charged for a mask. I've been told that there's a business out there that doesn't necessarily charge for the mask, but they ask for a donation, and the business defers that donation on to a not-for-profit organization. And then others do charge for the mask.
From our previous conversations, I gather there have been no formal complaints regarding schools, at least since the start of the school year. And most schools in the county are holding classes in person outside of District 87 and Unit 5, though we do hear anecdotally about complaints. Are you surprised that there haven't been any regarding schools and students meeting in the classroom?
I think the school districts have been very public on the attempts that they're making to reduce the transmission of the virus within the classrooms. And I think the public has been satisfied with the attempts that they've made public. We're not in classrooms, so I can't speak firsthand as to what my staff are witnessing in schools or what I've seen personally, because we're just not in the classroom setting.
And I guess lastly, it seems like, you know, it's sort of like a Goldilocks thing where, you know, there are many different opinions about all of this, including how it's enforced. There are businesses that feel that protocols go too far. There are others that say they don't go far enough. And it seems like, you know, you're sort of caught in the middle trying to make sure that COVID doesn't spread further, but you can only do so much, right?
Yeah, and it's easy to look back in time and look at other countries and what they've done. And New Zealand frequently pops up as discussion in my office, and how they basically, it may be perceived that they went to a worst case scenario where they shut down the country for 5 weeks. And only police, medical, and fire departments were the only people allowed to report for work if needed. And after that 5 weeks, they reopened, and they've had a long run of very few COVID-19 cases since they reopened the country. And I understand they still have some restrictions as far as outside visitors coming to visit, but for the residents, the national citizens of New Zealand, there's been very few cases since they reopened. That's easier stated than done, but I think if we would have went to an extreme like that, with the help of our elected officials in offering economic stimulus right up front, and maybe rationing grocery purchases to prepare for that 5 week shutdown, we might be in a better situation than what we're in today.
So a more intense, you know, because of course, you know, we did lock down generally, but nowhere near to that degree. So perhaps a really intense lockdown for a very short amount of time would have prevented these in and out sort of lockdowns spread out over months and months, and who knows how long after this.
That's my belief, yes.
Is there anything else that you wanted to mention that we didn't cover?
I want to encourage you and everyone else who's out there, if you do witness something firsthand, an egregious violation of the rules, to feel free to contact our office. We will take the complaint. We will investigate it. And if you do feel unsafe going to patronizing a business or being in a certain location, then please, you know, take your own health into your own hands. Go somewhere else. Take your business somewhere else. There's a lot of other businesses. There's a lot of competition in this community. You know, if you go to a hardware store that you like to frequent all the time, but you don't feel comfortable now because they're not enforcing the facial coverings, go to the competitor. And don't be bashful in sending an email to the management of that company and saying, you know, I patronized your business. I like your business, but now I don't feel safe, so I've gone to this other business. I think that's the only way businesses are going to take it seriously, and the rest of the public. We have to take responsibility for our own health. We have to be responsible for other people's health. That's the only way we're going to beat this virus. We have to keep this virus from transmitting from person to person, so that it'll die out. The virus survives in people. It needs people to survive. And if we don't spread it from person to person, it'll eventually die out.
And despite nearly 400 complaints, I mean, it's a lot, but there are thousands of businesses. Overall, you feel that businesses have generally been compliant, or at least have tried to be as best they possibly can?
I do. And there's only a handful of establishments that come to the top of my head that we've seen a high number of complaints.